Hey guys, welcome back to Rave Culture Cast, your weekly guide to the EDM community, music festivals, and more. I am your host, Emma Kapotis. What is up, fam? How are we all doing? Happy July. This summer is absolutely flying. It's crazy, you guys. But today I am bringing you a pretty important episode. It's one that I have been sitting on now for a couple of weeks as I've gathered my thoughts, and I just really wanted to be thoughtful about this episode and talk to you guys about festival and event safety, given a lot of different situations and incidents that have happened this past year in the festival community. So I just wanted to have an open dialogue with you today. I do not have all of the answers. I just want to share my thoughts and opinions on, in general, festival safety, where we're going wrong, what we could be doing better, and just shedding a light on some things that I think we can all help to contribute to make this a safer space as well. So that is what I'm going to be talking about in today's episode. But before we dive into things, speaking of event safety, I wanted to shout out an earplug company that I've been loving this year, and that is Loop Earplugs. If you guys didn't know, Loop Earplugs has a whole different category of earplugs for any kind of situation. So the experience earplugs are specifically made for concerts and festival goers. So it protects your hearing. It reduces noise by 18 decibels, which you can clearly tell when you put them on because it blocks out like really damaging levels of noise, but you still get like a very clear, crisp sound. So you can hear the bass, you can still hear the music, but it's just extremely important to wear earplugs at events, you guys. So I'm gonna pop up my discount code here. It's LoopXMAK, LoopXMAK, and that will save you guys a discount on any of the earplugs that they have. The quiet earplugs are amazing as well. They're made of a softer silicone material. I use those on my 9-hour flight to Greece just so that I could sleep, and they're really comfortable. You can wear them overnight in bed as well. So definitely check out all of Loop's earplugs. They also have a brand new Tomorrowland special edition, which is sick. It comes in gold and black, and it's awesome. It's all Tomorrowland themed. So definitely feel free to check out any of Loop's earplugs. I will link all of that down below. All right, with that being said, like I said, I want to just kind of dive into things. A couple quick disclaimers, actually a couple life updates too for you guys. I only have a couple more episodes here before I go out on my maternity leave, which some of you might know that, but if you're new here, welcome first of all to the podcast. But yeah, I'm giving birth very soon, and so I've been kind of like slowing down on episodes, and I have personally decided to take a full maternity leave from the podcast. I don't know how long that will be, but I really just want to take a break from content and be able to just like fully focus on being a mom. So I just wanted to let you know there's only a couple more episodes coming out here, so they may all be on the shorter side as I am very out of breath right now. So anyways, just wanted to let you know we just got a couple more episodes to go this summer, and then I'll be taking a break through the fall. But quick trigger warning on this episode, because I know this is a very sensitive topic. It's also why it took me a couple weeks to do this. I feel like when things happened with the, you know, Beyond Wonderland shooting, I wanted to do an episode immediately after, and it was just such a heavy topic, genuinely, like for me and my hormones and my headspace, like I couldn't do it immediately. And now I've had time to like sit and process and think about things, and I feel like I'm in a better place to speak to you guys about it as well, which is really important. So just wanted to let you know I am going to be talking about, obviously, like the Beyond Wonderland shooting, festival safety. So if that's triggering to you, you can skip this episode, or you could go check out some of my past ones. I did want to shout these out. I've had on Dance Safe multiple times. I've had Rain on the podcast, and I've had Goodnight Vancouver all within this past year. And all of those episodes are about festival safety, how to protect yourself, and different, you know, topics related to harm reduction. So I have so many other episodes that I will link below if you want to like continue this conversation about festival safety. But that's everything. Resources will be listed down below as well. So let's talk about Beyond Wonderland first. That's kind of where I wanted to start this conversation because that sparked this episode. So if you were not aware at this point, Back at the end of June, Beyond Wonderland Pacific Northwest edition took place at the Gorge in Washington State. I have never personally been to this location. It has always been a bucket list for me because it's an absolutely beautiful natural location. A lot of camping festivals take place there, and it's just absolutely stunning. I believe this is the second year Beyond Wonderland Pacific Northwest happened because they already have Beyond Wonderland SoCal. I'm pretty sure this was the second year. I'm not going to get into all the details. I will link down below the official updates from the Grant County Sheriff's Office because those are actually from the Sheriff's Office on exactly what happened in that scenario. And now that there's been enough time, we have all of the information on the incident, the shooter, and the victims. So I'm also going to link the GoFundMe pages that have been created for the victims who lost their lives in this shooting as well. I've donated. There's people who survived, who were injured as well, who have GoFundMe pages. So I'm going to link all of that down below for you guys. But a couple things that stood out to me in this situation, and for any of you guys who were there, who either witnessed it or you were just at the event and then heard about what happened, like, it's extremely traumatizing to witness anything like that. I can't even imagine being in that situation, let alone, you know, even if you didn't directly see it happen, but you were still at the event, like that just causes a lot of things that can probably come up for you. So like processing that and finding a way to make yourself feel safe again and handle that trauma is like one thing that hopefully all of you guys are working on right now. But, you know, in that situation, there were so many different things that came up, obviously, about like, you know, how could this happen? What, you know, preventative measures could have been taken so that this didn't happen? How can we prevent this from happening at other events? Like, there's so many different things that can come up. And it shows like a lot of the holes in festival safety. And again, this, for me, this is big everywhere. It's not just big in the festival community, right? Like, as far as I know, this is one of the biggest incidents that's happened in our scene. This has obviously happened at other concerts or genres. This has happened at sporting arenas. Like, this has happened at schools. It's an issue nationwide in the United States. But for it to hit home and happen in a place where obviously we have the most loving and understanding and welcoming community, it was just finally like, you know, Jesus Christ, like, how could this happen here? It's just not very, it's not a part of our culture. I wouldn't know anybody who would even think to do anything like that. So it just felt very, you know, crazy to think that this could even happen. And it hits close to home for a lot of people. But a couple things happened immediately after that that I wanted to shed some light on. And one of those being the spread of misinformation, which is a big thing. I spoke about in the Okeechobee episode with my friend Lexi. There was a death that happened at Okeechobee this year. Somebody had drowned in the lake there, and there was so much misinformation spread about that situation. And I feel like just given the way the world is and the way social media is, people are so quick to jump on a story and share thoughts and opinions on Twitter and Reddit and all these things without even like, people weren't even there. They don't even know people who were there. They're just making assumptions. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about, because I even had a couple people DM me like the day or two after this incident had happened being like, hey, are you going to speak about this? Which I understand why people want me to talk about it. But again, like, I was not there. I didn't know any more information than anyone else did. And I do not feel comfortable putting my two cents in until we have all of the facts and information. And I've said the same thing about Okeechobee. Like, until Insomniac or Okeechobee made a statement about it. And in this situation, there was so many facts that came out from the Grant Sheriff's office after the fact that, like, disproved all of the shit that was out there on the internet. So that's why it's like, for me, I need to like give it a couple days in process. Like, the main concern is that people like lost their lives, and focusing on those people and then helping your friends or people who were traumatized by the situation, not trying to like guess what happened or point fingers or, you know, unleash all kinds of toxic feelings online towards anyone. That's just not how I personally process situations like that, because it can be very easy to just start pointing fingers without knowing literally anything about the situation. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. And then I would say with this situation, again, given what happened, for me, it just brought up a lot of like, okay, there's different levels of security measures that can be taken at any kinds of events, at festivals, concerts, sporting arenas, things like that. And then, you know, camping festivals as well have a different level of security measures that need to be taken. So in just a second, I want to kind of break this down by different ways that I think we can improve like each of those different types of events, because it is different when you're just getting checked like by yourself, like as a solo person going into your local EDM venue or something like that, versus like getting car checks at camping festivals and things like that. Like there's different levels there. So anyways, I'm gonna get into that in just a second. But my last thoughts, just to wrap up what happened with Beyond Wonderland, like I know everyone again processes it differently. I haven't been there before. I sat and I thought about like how I would feel going to events moving forward, because I personally don't have any events obviously scheduled because I'm pregnant right now. But again, for something like this to happen, it's one of these like tragic situations that we've seen like happen in all different types of scenarios. But for me, like raves and music festivals are my happy place. It's where I have the most beautiful, incredible memories. And like I'm not going to stop doing what I love because of an incident like this happening. But I completely understand if like something like this is traumatizing and you need to take a break for a really long time, or you decide that you don't feel safe at events, or that large scale events or crowds are not for you. Like that is a personal decision that you need to make yourself. But again, like whatever feels best for you in this scenario and however you want to process it, it's just, you know, I want to continue to attend events. I want to see that producers and law enforcement and all of that are making it a safer space for us, that they are making changes, that there are things that they can do to make sure that this is prevented from happening again. So that I would just personally feel better if I, you know, see these next few things kind of happening at events. But that is what I want to say about the first topic. So in general, speaking on festival safety, what I'm going to go into next is who makes up a festival team. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, security checks, medical, tents, on-site staffing, and then how we can as fans contribute to making this a safer space. So that's how I'm going to be breaking this up. So starting with festival teams, as far as like safety and security go. So I've been lucky enough with just this podcast and with other opportunities I've had in this space to interview so many different types of people that work for festivals and just get exposed to like all of these different roles that make up a festival safety team. And for a lot of people, like whether you're new to the scene, maybe you want to work for festivals eventually, like you may not realize like all the types of roles that go into making decisions around festivals. So obviously you have like the organizers and producers, and you have all different teams from like creative to marketing to finance, accounting, like you have everything involved. Then you have the medical staffing, obviously. So all the different medical tents, local EMS, like all of that is going to be involved with the medical team. Then there's a risk assessment team as well. This, I'm not sure how big this is at every festival, or you know, usually it might just be like a contractor that they work with. But when I was doing the Festival Insider podcast, we interviewed a risk assessment specialist who worked with Electric Zoo, and it was a really interesting episode. And basically their job was to work with like the local law enforcement, and for months and months and months leading up to the festival, they're monitoring everything around the event. So like online threats, what are people talking about online, making sure perimeters and everything like that is safe, setting up the security teams. They're working with local meteorologists, so they are assessing weather weeks out so that they can predict what's going to happen. That's why like I could do a whole separate episode on like weather issues at festivals, because I know it's like the biggest bummer for fans when a day gets canceled or things get delayed because of weather, but there's an entire team that's like thinking about the risk, assessing the risk with, you know, a really bad thunderstorm like we just saw with Electric Forest. There was a really, really bad storm that happened. So there's risk assessment, there's meteorologists, there's the security teams. Typically, those are just hired locally through whatever organizations, you know, have security teams in that state or that area. Then you have ground control. This is a program that Insomniac does. They're paid team members that you can apply for this program, and they usually wear their like purple shirts and they walk around the festival. A lot of them are ravers and festival goers themselves. Excuse me, I had to burp. but they just walk around and make sure everyone's okay. They're like the angels of the festival. They knock on bathroom doors. They check on people who are sleeping on the ground. Like, they really are just like patrolling the crowds and making sure people are okay. And then you have volunteers as well. So you have people who are just volunteering for the festival, for any of these departments. You have harm reductionists in some cases. Like, now we have end overdose on site at a lot of Insomniac's events. But you do have people who are dealing with harm reduction. And then, of course, you have local law enforcement, so police, local officials that they're working with and things like that. So all of that, and there's probably more I'm not even mentioning, by the way, but that's kind of like who I immediately thought of as major festival, like the teams that make up like the safety and security at festivals. So diving into security now. So when I kind of broke this down, and I, again, like that one of the first festivals that happened after Beyond Wonderland was Electric Forest. And I know they came out with like a couple statements of what they were doing to improve their security. And from speaking to a couple friends, it did sound like security checks were a little bit longer. There was more of a canine presence because I believe they were doing more. They had dogs who could sniff out like weapons and things like that, bomb sniffing dogs. So they did notice a lot more law enforcement as well, like as soon as you came in through the metal detectors through security. So I wrote down, for me, increased police and medical presence at festivals is like bare minimum, like where I want to start as far as security goes, because I think just knowing that there are more police on site, especially like right near the festival entrances or maybe like the camping, like car check entrances and things like that, just knowing that something could be responded to very quickly and handled very quickly is something that would make me feel better. Same with medical presence. I've talked about this in so many past episodes, but a lot of festivals still do not have enough medical tents on site, or at least medical tents that are visible. So like they are marked on the map, people know exactly where they are. So if you ever run into a situation where you need to get medical help, you know where those teams are. So for me, those two things I feel like just need to be a standard at all events moving forward. And this is like where it gets tricky with the thing that happened at Beyond Wonderland. And I think about this with lots of events. It's scary. Like if you're just pulling into a stadium, for example, your car isn't getting checked when you're pulling into a parking lot. So you don't know what people have on them at any point. And an incident could happen in a parking lot before you get into a festival. Do you know what I mean? Like I know, I think that happened with, I think it was Ariana Grande at her concert, which was absolutely horrible. I think that was in the UK, but incidents can happen outside of the festival grounds is what I'm saying, which is what happened with Beyond Wonderland as well. So there's just like so many scenarios that are out of your control, which is really fucking terrifying, I know, but like there's only so much you can do to prevent that. Like that, to me, I'm like, that is out of my control. But knowing that there would be increased police presence and medical presence would make me feel better. And then with car checks. So this one is interesting to me because I feel like there's the, and I get these questions asked like as a YouTube creator, like how is the security? How fast is security moving? Like people want a smooth, quick line. I'll raise my hand and say that. Like obviously if things go quickly, a lot of people are happy versus waiting online for 4+ hours to get checked. Like, you know, the complaints are going to start rolling in and people are going to be like, what the fuck? Why is this taking so long? So it's this like interesting dichotomy of like us wanting to have really smooth, quick security lines, but also wanting to feel safe and feeling like the security gives a shit and that they're actually doing something. So it's trying to find this like happy medium of doing both. I personally feel like not only just car checks, but anything camping related could be way better. I've been at plenty of festivals where, you know, you get out of the car, they do a quick sweep. They're mainly looking for like alcohol, sometimes drugs, sometimes not. And they might open a couple things, but they're not going through your bag. They're not opening your luggage. They're really not doing a lot. And especially with like RVs are so massive. Like there's only so much time that they spend checking those as well. And I've seen people get things confiscated before, but it just seems like it's lax no matter what. And even like, you know, I've done Camp EDC before and I remember going through that security line and the luggage was like literally just opened and like looked at and then I closed it. So it's just tricky because I feel like you really don't have things like thoroughly searched. And I think we should be way more focused on looking for like weapons than we should for like alcohol and drugs. So it's just really, really tricky. The things I put down to like improve car searches, I really appreciate festivals that allow early arrivals. So when you can arrive like a day or two before the festival begins, having those extended hours and those extra days, one, help with the flow of traffic, but two, I think they allow for more time for security to actually go through your belongings. So that way it's not like, oh, everyone arrives on Thursday, which means security is just trying to get people through the frigging gates. So allowing for more early arrivals and extended hours, canine units searching for weapons and not for drugs. This was used at Electric Forest. I think this is a great option. I am so here for the canine units smelling all the cars, smelling me online, going through metal detectors, like whatever you got to do. I think canine units should definitely be a standard. And I put down that I think they should also be patrolling campsites as well. Like even after you get into the festival, I would feel very comfortable if I saw like law enforcement walking around the campsites with canine units sniffing for weapons as well. I think that would make me feel better. And then I put extra volunteers. I think this is a story that happens with a lot of music festivals. A lot of times they are very, very understaffed and they do not have enough people and not enough hands on site to make sure that things are handled properly. So having extra volunteers at the main security like checkpoints and then also at like camping checkpoints to make sure they're checking more thoroughly and then they can also keep things like flowing so you're not waiting there forever. Yeah, that would be my thoughts on that. And then for one-on-one checks, so you know, for any other kind of event, even just for like your local venue when you're just like going in and they're just checking what's on your person, obviously like metal detectors is number one, making sure that they have metal detectors, better pat downs at these events. I think better screenings of the security teams that festivals hire, because I'm sure you guys have experienced it. It depends on every festival. Sometimes you get a really, really lax security check. Sometimes you get somebody who's on a power trip and searches everything and tells you to take your shoes off and like is fully fucking thorough. I know in New York City, I've dealt with very thorough security. Oh my God. At, what was it? Mad Decent Block Party in 2016. That was probably one of the most thorough security checks I've ever had in my life. They're pretty thorough at the Brooklyn Mirage and Avant Gardner as well. They will like fully check your bag, pat you down, scan you. And then Electric Zoo has pretty thorough security. Obviously, it's New York City, so they're very like on top of their shit with that. But I'm just saying, like, in a way, I'm glad that they do that and they should do that at other festivals. But again, a lot of security teams are hired locally. And, you know, I talked to Goodnight Vancouver about this. Like, you get security who harasses you, who hits on you, who has power trips, who is not really concerned about your safety but is thinking about other things. So I think just better screening of security teams, who they're hiring and who's checking people would be good. Things just not being so lax. Like, I'm sure you guys have a million and one stories. And again, some people love lax security because that means they can get their drugs through, or they like it because they just don't really feel like being searched or they don't want it to take that long. I get it. But at the same time, I've been on so many lines where you walk through and they like literally don't even open your bag and you're like, what the fuck was the point of that? Like, it's just insane to me. So not being so lax for starters. Security checks before you get on shuttles to events. I know EDC does this and a couple other festivals, but if you are taking shuttle buses to a festival for any event, I feel like you should do a security check before you get on the shuttle buses as well, because that's not totally common at every event, so I think that would help. And then last couple of thoughts here before I wrap up, as far as camping festival goes, like I mentioned, having more volunteers, having canine units and things like that, just to check throughout the line, opening earlier I think will be great. Camping festivals present even more, I think, like safety issues that you can run into, obviously, because you're all staying in one place together and anybody could be walking the campgrounds at any time. And you really just have like your tent lock to protect you. So this just even goes for as far as like theft goes too. And I'm not just talking like weapons, but you know, sometimes it's not well lit areas. And we've talked about assault on this podcast happening in campgrounds. So I think like having more well lit camping areas at night, like I mentioned, I'd feel comfortable if I saw more volunteers, ground control, or law enforcement walking around through the campgrounds. I've been at festivals where we're like sitting and chilling in our campgrounds and like a random person will just walk into our campsite and try and like sell whatever the fuck, like sell accessories, sell clothing, sell drugs. And I'm always like, why is this person like up in my space? It made me feel uncomfortable that they were just like walking around freely and you just don't know who these people are. So I think like sometimes the campgrounds themselves could be patrolled a little bit better just so that we feel safer. So that's kind of like everything that I would think about. I'm sure I'm missing so many things, you guys. Like my brain is also like pregnancy brain. So if I'm missing anything, again, like please chime in the comments below on YouTube. Like I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear what you guys think about festival security and how we can make this a better space. And last but certainly not least, before I wrap up, how we can all contribute. This is a big one for me personally because I just feel like, again, there's all these things we can do beforehand. There's plenty that is on the festival producers. There's plenty that's on law enforcement. There's things that, you know, people can get hired for and measures that can be taken to make sure that it's safer for everyone. But then there's so much that we can do as well to also make it a safe space because I don't know if you guys remember, but last year at the Gorge, I forget what event it was. I think it might have been Base Canyon. There was an incident at Base Canyon that could have been much, much scarier, but it was also, I believe, in the campgrounds, and two people saw suspicious behavior coming from somebody, I think, like in the parking lot or in the campgrounds, and they got security, and this person ended up having weapons in their car. So they prevented possibly something very serious from happening. So if you see something, say something is a very fucking real thing. As we say, I feel like as ravers, we do a really good job of like looking out for each other and protecting each other in crowds, whether someone's like just having a hard time, maybe they're, you know, dealing with substances or really drunk, or I've dealt with so many different scenarios where I've just seen like really, really intoxicated people who have needed medical attention. Like, I think just speaking up, keeping your eyes and ears peeled, being aware of your surroundings. If somebody is really, really making you feel uncomfortable or somebody is very suspicious, they're giving off threatening behavior, energy, words, don't just sit there and do nothing about it. Go get help. Tell somebody, tell security, tell ground control, like whoever you have to go get to make sure that you're making it a safer space for everyone. I also wrote down taking online threats seriously. I've seen this happen a lot in our community, which I think is awesome. Like, there have been people who have made threats against large events, different shows happening, and people have reported those people directly to the event producers. And I know that they've like gotten in touch with local law enforcement. So taking online threats very seriously and reporting these people or tagging the artists or the event producers of those events so that they see it is really important too. So it goes for things happening beforehand. Like I said, getting help when you see a dispute. A lot of these times there can be domestic disputes happening at these events, which is really unfortunate to see. But again, don't be afraid to say something, even if it's within your group. Like if somebody in your group is acting out or needs help, maybe they just need medical attention, do not be afraid to go get medical help. You're not going to get in trouble. Like, make sure that you're helping your friends as well. And then supporting one another. Again, with the spread of misinformation, like, to me, it even hurts more when a serious incident happens and then people just pile on and add all this fuel to the fire and say really fucking horrible things online and point fingers and shit all over event producers and then talk really nasty to each other. It just like is gross to me overall. It's very toxic. I don't participate in that kind of like culture. I don't think it feels good. So I think supporting one another in the scene and coming together and being there for each other is what needs to be the priority versus just like reacting with like anger and toxicity. So yeah, just looking out for one another. And again, not spreading misinformation, not jumping on top of something. If you weren't there, if you don't have all the facts, if you don't know everything, don't open your mouth. Don't write something online that you cannot back up. So that is something I think we should all be doing to contribute to making this a safer space. Alrighty, guys, my final thoughts I want to leave you with. Obviously, in this situation, tragic events happen in our world. It's absolutely horrible. It's gross that it's even a reality of the world that we live in. It's really upsetting to see it reach our community and have something happen to our fellow ravers, friends, family members. Mental health is a huge issue in the United States right now. So it's unacceptable when people are losing their lives. So I personally hope that there's so many more security measures taken, that we take this way more seriously in this space. I'm more than happy to sit on a security line longer if that means they are being more thorough, if that means they are checking people, they're checking our cars. Like, I'm fine subjecting myself to that if that means that I'm going to feel better going in through the gates and knowing that my life is valued and taken seriously. I also refuse to live in fear. I'm going to continue going to raves and festivals. I will not let somebody ruin my joy and take that from me. Things can happen at any time, and I just can't like live my life thinking like that. So yeah, I just really hope our community comes together during this time moving forward. I know that our community can very much rally behind each other. And again, there's so many different things we can do to make each other feel safer in this space. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep looking out for one another. That's always very important. And then again, if you are personally dealing with any trauma, if you are processing things, if you've experienced anything, whether it's at a show or, you know, whatever, make sure you are talking to somebody, a friend, family member. You can reach out and get help. I'm going to leave a bunch of resources linked down below. We have 988, the Suicide and Crisis Hotline is 988lifeline.org. We have RAIN, who I've spoken to, the Sexual Assault Hotline, 1-800-656-4673. The Trevor Project, you can call, chat, or text them at any time. If you are in the LGBTQ plus community, and you want to chat with them, definitely reach out to the Trevor Project. And then there's also the PTSD Foundation of America, PTSDUSA.org. There's so many more resources than this, you guys, but if you are just feeling like you need to process things and talk to somebody about the trauma that you're feeling, reach out to any of those organizations. I'm going to wrap up here. Feel your feelings, you guys. I'm here with you. I'm here to support you. Process what you've been through. It's okay to take a break. It's okay if you don't feel safe at events right now and you need to pause that and come back to it. Doesn't feel like a safe space for you right now. I hope that that changes. I hope that we are able to, you know, take measures to make all of this a lot more serious so that this doesn't happen again in our space. But I love you guys very, very much. Thank you for sitting here for 33 minutes listening to me spew thoughts at you. It's a lot. It's a lot to process. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a perfect human being. I've had experiences and I just, you know, want to contribute to making this a safer space in any way that I can as well. So thank you guys so much for being here. You know where to connect with us at Rave Culture Cast on all of the platforms. We have a Facebook group and a Discord community as well. If you guys want to keep the conversation going there and you want to chat about this episode or share any tips and advice, come join the community. I would absolutely love to have you guys in there. Again, rate, review, subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, do all the things. And if you enjoyed this or you think somebody else would find this information valuable, please, please share a link on your Instagram stories, on your Twitter, on your Threads, wherever the fuck we're posting things now. Feel free to share a link to this episode. It means a lot to me. So thank you guys for being here. Please take care of yourselves. Spread plur. Wherever you go, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.